having the mindset of, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in here, to enjoy the life, to enjoy everything. I say this before, I know there's 1,000 places around the world that they don't have this benefit. They don't have this blessing to be in a community right now, in a place, or in a church that we can all gather together and speak about the word of God, about everything, the blessing that he's doing, testifying all the greatness of his will and everything that he's doing in our life. So because of that, I always try to say, praise the Lord, worship him, thank God about all those blessings that we are receiving every day. Okay? What a great day. Today, I'm going to speak about a specific topic that I'm going to touch a little bit about some things of the previous one from last weekend, okay? Before of that, I like to pray so we can bring God to control everything here, so that way it's not us, it's not me, it's going to be just the Lord, okay? Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you again for this time. Thank you for this opportunity to be in here. Thank you for also the chance of speaking your word. Thank you for the revelation of your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we ask you and declare that the Holy Spirit is taking control of this word, the hearts right now, ministry everyone, and converting that to a blessing for us, providing some tools to us to live in a better life every day. Thank you always for everything that you're doing. And again, bless this word. It's your word, it's not my word. I ask you for please using just me. It's not me, it's you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. Today I'm going to speak about taking the place. That's going to be the topic of or the title of the sermon today. Taking the place. In the past, in the Old Testament, or maybe I can say in the times of Jesus Christ, we have the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin is like the council, right? It's a people or priests or leaders of the church of that they will also touch a little bit of the influences of the politicians and also the community. That was like the responsibility of the Sanhedrin in those times. And what I bring this stuff is because in that time of Jesus Christ, they have a book. They wrote a book. They have it already in place. You can take a look. It's life. It's a red book. And it's called the Tractate Sanhedrin. It's from Hebrew. It's a Jewish book, okay? So sorry about the pronunciation. So, however, the book, it was saying, or is saying right now, that the Jewish, based on the Isaiah 53, they say that Jesus Christ is supposed to be a leper king. Why? Because he should be taking all the diseases, all the rebellions, transgression from the people. So they were expecting a leper king to take in over of that prophecy from Isaiah. So that's what they're expecting. They're expecting a leper king. They're not expecting just a Messiah, like a regular king. They were expecting a person that he was considered like a leper, and then he will be the person to save the Jewish people. So the Sanhedrin, those leaders of the council, they were saying that if we don't receive that person, if we don't see that manifestation in that person, that's not our king. That's why also one of the many things the Jewish, they don't believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior. They just believe he's just like another brother, another prophet on the land. But that's one of the many things that they also believe Jesus Christ wasn't the Messiah to save the world, to save them. Also, these people, the Sanhedrin, you will see the type of mindset that they were doing, because when they were trying to get to that specific situation and trying to implement stuff, they were accomplished the prophecy. Maybe in their heads, they were thinking that they were accomplished the prophecy, but they were doing it. Why? Because really, Jesus Christ, when they went really and to judge him about all the stuff that they were judging Jesus Christ, they were removing him as a Messiah. So in other words, they were creating that prophecy. They were saying that Jesus Christ, it was that leper, because he was receiving all the sickness, diseases from the people. So that means they were accomplished that prophecy. Also, when Jesus Christ went to the Pilates, right? I don't know how to say it. My bad. Pilato. That's the king. Yeah, thank you. So the by that time, that king, he was taking a direction from the Jewish people, from the Sanhedrin, saying, Jesus Christ, we're going to judge him. I want to judge him because he's saying that he's the king of the Jewish. He's saying he's the Messiah. We don't believe in that as the Sanhedrin. And then they put another person in his side. I don't know if you remember the story. Barabbas, right? But in the real name of Barabbas, in that time, his name, it was, you can check, it was Jesus Barabbas. When you go and find and look the definition of Barabbas, the name is Son of God. So they might be, don't think they were accomplished the prophecy, but they were. Because the people there start screaming, let go Jesus the Barabbas. In other words, let's leave, let it go Jesus the Son of God. They were prophesying that. Literally, the name is Barabbas. The people were saying, look, let go Barabbas. Crucify Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. But really, the town, the people, what they were saying, it was, let go the Son of God. Nothing. That's just something in the side about the Sanhedrin, about how they were accomplished the prophecy based on that. Okay, I want to start talking about Isaiah 53, 4 through 8. And I'm going to start breaking down through verses. So please stay with me. We're going to start with number 4. And it says, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, striken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Number one, I want to start talking about the first one in chapter number 53, verse number 5, when it says, pierced for our transgression. I believe the Bible is really specific in what it says. That's me. I'm really says why. I believe that God inspired these people. The Holy Spirit is there, and that word transformed us. So I believe really in that. So that's why I'm really like picky in the word. And that's what I say. Why they don't say, but he was crushed for our transgression? Why it doesn't say something different? So I believe God was specific, saying he was pierced for our transgression. So that means there's a relation over there between transgression and pierce. Why? Because transgression, it means like you are deciding your own will. You are deciding going to your own path. So you're not following God's will. You're not following what God is telling you to do. So that's transgression against God. I don't want to follow his word. I don't want to follow his will. I'm going to do my own thing. That's transgression. So that's going to create a pierce in you when you need to get healed. Because transgression is going to be a sin. That's going to be a sin against God. And to get healed, you will need to get pierced. The second one, it means crush for our iniquities. What is iniquities? Iniquities is injustice. Is that you're not being justy with a person. It's not, you're not justy with your life. It's not that you're not justy with what's going on with your world right now. Again, you are taking your own power to make the justice. That's iniquities. And the healing of the iniquities is going to be crushed. You're going to be crushed. Inside of you, inside of your soul and spirit, you're going to get crushed. The third one, it says punishment. Because you get pierced and crushed because your own transgression, iniquities, you receive the punishment. Because that's going to be the punishment that you will receive to get your peace. What it means, peace? Peace means safe. It means well-being. It means that you have everything in control because you are in God's hand. So that punishment that you will receive because that you want to receive that peace is being created by your transgression. It's being created by your iniquities. And because of that, the way to heal and receive your peace is going to be through that punishment. Now, when we go to the last one, that I say, by his wounds, we are healed. This one, in Spanish, is different. I don't know why I look for a different interpretations and different translations. And always they say wounds. Always. In Spanish, it says wound. So it means it's one. We're going to stay in wounds. I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable. But I'm just telling you, in Spanish, you say that it's just one wound. It's not many wounds. That's what I'm trying to say. So that's a nice revelation. But again, when you go to different translations, the people change the translations. Maybe if you go to the King James, it will say just one. Maybe if you go to the New Translation, you will see that it's many. But some people, when they go to the history of Jesus Christ, when he get punished, all his body, it was one wound. Anyway, you will see that he will get in a lot of hits everywhere in different parts of his body. He become just one wound. And the really interesting part here is the wounds. It means tied with strips. It means welt. So it means because I decide to take that place off your transgressions, my iniquities. I decide to take that punishment. I'm going to tie them. I'm going to create the wounds. And by that wounds, you're going to get healed. You here with me? Because that wounds heal us. Healing means patch up. It means like stitches, right? I don't know too much about sewing, but in my actual job right now, I have a filter bag, a fabric filter bags. Sometimes they break because the pressure of the machine. I have to start stitching them to fix them and reuse it. I don't know too much about it. But I can see the principle over there that God is trying to tell me right now through this word about healing. You're breaking. You break because the sin, because your transgression, because our iniquities. And because of that, God is providing you the healing, which is a patch. He's sewing that portion of your life because you're being created to worship God. You're being created to praise the Lord. That's your purpose, number one in your life, to serve him. When you serve him, you praise him. When you praise him, you worship him. That's the main goal or number one thing why we're being created, to serve him, to worship him. But when we start taking our own path, our own decisions, we are doing the transgression, we are doing the iniquities, then we're breaking that purpose of that we are being created. And then God is providing you the healing through that way. When I patch them and I put it back in, sometimes I don't do a good job because remember, I don't know how to sew. So the pressure breaks the filter bag again. And I have to redo it again. What does that mean? It means we need the right person to know how to make the stitches really tight enough, really good and strong enough, so that way we don't break again. That's Jesus Christ. Number six, it said, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Number 7 says, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers, is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Again, really specific in this verse. Why God, he was just talking about not open his mouth. He did not open his mouth. Matthew 15:11 says, what goes into someone's mouth does not defile them. But what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. Interesting, right? The people were, in that time, in that verse, if we are speaking before and after the verse, you can see the Jewish, they were too worried about what we're eating and all that. But Jesus Christ was explained to them, that's not going to contaminate you. That's not going to defile you. What is going to contaminate you is whatever you're saying. Every time that you open your mouth, you have to be careful, because you can bless, but you can condemn also. So it's powerful. James also said that your tongue or your mouth, it can burn a forest. That means you have a lot of power in your mouth right now. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it, it will eat its fruits. You just said over there, we have the power. You have the power. Say it. Declare. Be careful what you're saying, because you can condemn people. You can stop the blessing in your life. But also, you can be blessed the people. You can be blessed in your life. That's why Jesus Christ was specific in this. And also, that's why God, he was specific in this prophecy through Isaiah 7. He did not open his mouth. He never opened his mouth. Anyway, he was getting that punishment, because he know the will of God. We should be know what is the will of God in our life. We should be know better why we are here right now. And we're not supposed to open the mouth, and we just need to continue accomplish that prophecy in our life, or that destiny in our life. Number 8, it says, by oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet, who of his generation protest? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. We know that the Old Testament, the priest, they performed the sacrifice through an animal, right? The animal, it have to be a lamb or a ram, and it have to be clean. It have to be perfect. Why? Because God wants to be specific in this, and he wants the animal be identified with the person committing the sin. When that person identified to the priest kill the animal to God like an offering. That's an offering of guilty. It was healing that sin momentarily or temporarily. That means it wasn't forever. Jesus Christ covered forever. Good. We are there. But before that, it was temporarily. Why? I learned that in the Old Testament, the whole Old Testament is a manifestation. It is like an image of Jesus Christ. Everything was laid down there with the purpose of Jesus Christ. That's why God, it was using the sacrificing animals in that time. Because he wants to show you how he's going to heal forever your sins or your wounds or your sickness or everything in your life. Because Jesus Christ, he will be performing that for you. We are supposed to take the responsibility in doing that. but he knows better. I will say maybe they know better. When I mean the God, Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. They know that we, referring to the last weekend, we sometimes in this body are controlled by the soul. And now it's really hard to be in that goal or that destiny of God in our life. So that means we are taking over our own decisions. And then we're not accomplished that destiny of God in our life. Because of that, Jesus Christ said, I will do it. I take your transgressions. I take your iniquities. I'm without sin. I don't have anything. I'm clean. Spotless. I will take it. I will tie all those sins. I will crucify, die for you, so that way you can get healed and you can be safe. 1 Peter 2, 22-24, it says, he committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusts himself to him who justly. That's what I'm supposed to do. I know we grow maybe in a house or in an environment showing us different maybe things. Maybe when someone hit you, you will hit it back. Maybe when someone offend you, you will offend it back. But this word is telling you, just pass it to the one that he can judge better than you and I. And he will take care of you. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Christ's wound, we're healed, healing you, healing us right now, because we believe in that. We wasn't in that time with Jesus Christ, but by faith, we believe that that's happening right now. He decided to take that responsibility because he loved you. He loved us. And because of that, he took it. He did it, and now we can be safe. Now, Matthew 8:16-17, it says, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with the word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. The important thing in this verse is that it says, he drove out the spirit with the word. You want to remove the spirit of sickness in your life, in your parents, in your coworker, in your family, in your neighbor? It's going to be through the word. Specifically, this is a New Testament, so that means it's going to be in a Greek. That means logos. Logos is mean the revelation of God. You need the revelation of God, of the word of God, so that way you can remove those demon-possessed person and remove it out of the person, that demon-possessed. You can remove the sickness of that person through the word. That's the way Jesus Christ performed it. We can do it also. Why? Because when you go to 1 Peter 2:21, that was the verse that I just read. I read 22 through 24, but I just want to go one before that. It says, to these you were called, everyone. Also me. Because Christ suffered for you, for me, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. That's why we're called. And that's the purpose of the sermon today. I just give you the introduction, what Jesus Christ did, which I guess you already know everything that I just say. But now, I want to give you the application in your life right now through that example, through Jesus Christ. That's why we are called, to make this happen. And it's to take the place of other persons. You might be have, again, neighbors. You might be have parents, relatives, family, co-workers, that they are suffering right now, that they are sick right now. They have disease. They are in transgressions. They are in iniquities. They have situations. You are here believing in Jesus Christ, believing in God, in the Holy Spirit. You have some advantage right now. You have some power that they might be don't know yet because they're not here yet. But they will by faith. Matthew 16:19 says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Wow. Sorry. For me, that's really powerful. Because he's giving you that authority right now. And sometimes we forgot that we have that power. That we are. I know we're living in this body. And it's a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. But really, really, you have spiritual power right now to control stuff in your life and in other person's life. By your mouth. By decree. I forgot the word. Declaring. But there's another word that I don't have it right now in my mind. But when you declare in the word, you have the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you lose on earth will be loosened in heaven. You have that power. You can bound here. It will bound in heaven. You can lose here. It will lose in heaven. You have that power. Just take the place of that person. Go in front of that person. Intercede for that person. Your relative. Your co-worker. Your neighbor. Your family. The person. Just take over. Take in front of that person. Because you know that you have that power. You know that you have that mouth power. You have the life and death in your mouth. Declare the word. You have the logos. The revelation of God. Every Sunday you're receiving a word over here with a purpose. Not just to walk out of here and not do anything. We need to declare that word against those demons, against those spirits, removing all the condemnation, removing all the iniquities and transgression of that person, of that relative, of that family, that co-worker, removing everything. Ezekiel 22:30. And I saw for a man among them. That's what God is doing right now. Through every one of us. That should make up the edge. I know I put another version. This is King James. But that one is NIV. NIV says build the wall. Sorry. But we need to build that wall. Spiritual wall. In between. The person. Sin. Transgression. Iniquities. That's why we are here. And stand in the gap before me for the land, that I shall not destroy it. But I found none. Do we want to make the step? Do we want to take that step and stand in front of my parents? Of my father, that he might be suffering right now a disease, and say to God, Lord, I'm going to declare the word. By Jesus Christ's wounds, we are healed. Pay attention, note, that's in past tense. We already been healed. We're not going to be healed. We already been healed. It's done. Take it. Take the keys. Use it in your favor. Use it in the favor of that person. Build that wall. Stand up in the gap. Let's start fighting. 2 Chronicles 7:14. You guys already know that one. In the past, I spoke about this verse. I'm just going to say it just to help a little bit on this. We can break it down, but I don't have time today to do it. So it's going to be 7:14, 2 Chronicles. If my people, you and me, who are called by my name, again, he called you by that, with that purpose. Number one, will humble themselves. Number two, pray, and seek my face. Number three, and turn from their weak ways. If you do those three things, according to that verse, it says, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. But we have to do the first three things first. This is what it says over there. Then I will do this stuff. But let's start doing the first three things if we want to heal that person, if we want to be interceding for that person. Let's not talk about the person. Let's talk about the land, United States. Different lands, different places. Let's stop before that and start praying and start interceding for that. How are you going to do that? I already explained to you what Jesus Christ did. He took it. You need to take that transgression, that iniquities. Pray for that person. Tie those sins. That person will be healed. Yeah, we believe that, yeah, God have his will. His will is perfect. He will know better. But our job is to declare the word of God, the revelation of word of God. And if his will is to heal, he will heal. He will do it. He will make it happen. How many stories we have in the Bible that he was waiting for a person to just stand up and pray, to fight against and people that they did that they pray, stuff happens. If you bound, he will bound. If you lose, he will lose. Last verse. I'm telling you what we're doing, what is going to be the benefits. The Bible is full of benefits from God to to his people. And I want to leave you with Job 42:10. I know you read the story about Job. I don't know if you pay attention to this specific detail of verse. This is like pretty much the last chapter, but this is a specific verse. It's telling you again what happened, what you need to do so you can see some benefits. You already know what happened with Job, what he went through, his friends, and everything. But according to this verse, it says, 42:10, after Job had prayed for his friends. And now I'm asking, what happened if he never prayed for his friend? Maybe God will create another different things, right? Possibly. But according to this verse, being specific, it says, after Job had prayed for his friend, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. But it was after he prayed for his friends. Let's take the place of that person. Jesus Christ showed you what to do. Let's just do it. He's telling you, again, you have the authority, you have the power, you have the keys. Just take it. Let's fight spiritually. Let's fight against those things. We will testify. I believe in that. We will see the miracles of God in our life. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I really appreciate all your blessings, all your revelations. Thank you for that. Thank you for all the time that you're giving us to study the Word, to learn more about you. I know we might be still drinking milk like babies, but thank you for all the revelation. I really appreciate that this Word is getting in our life, because I really truly believe that this Word is going to explode in our life, and it's going to create a blessing. It's going to create a transformation in us to be better, to be complete, which that's what you want. Please help us through the Holy Spirit. Help us to make the right decisions. Please help us to understand that we have the power and the authority to declare your word. Right now, at this moment, I ask you, Lord, but I also declare that your word heal every person in this place. That your word remove any transgressions, any iniquity that it can be attacking our families, our relatives, our co-workers, our friends, our neighbors. And help us to be better and be all in one mindset, one community, praising you, worshiping you, which is your number one goal. Thank you for that. I really pray for everyone here. I declare that you are the Lord of our life and that you will continue blessing us day by day. Thank you also for your spirit and for the salvation through Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, church. Again, I declare blessings to you. I ask the Lord to continue blessing us. I wish you the best. I wish you that you have a great week. And like I always say, but I forgot last weekend, be a doer of the word, not just a hearer, that we will forget. Thank you. God bless you. Love you guys.